We're on the trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction. On the trolley back alley, heading for some Nutmeg function. All the people we see and the places we go, we'll have you right back by the end of the show. We're on the trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction.
Welcome to Nutmeg Junction. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Nutmeg Junction, America's new old-time radio program, is 100% originally scripted audio theater, or the theater of the mind. When our show was first created, there were certain characters in our proposed anthology that we wished to utilize in order to explore different aspects of this medium of audio entertainment. One of the preeminent characters was that of the Professor. Professor A is the adjunct professor to the multiverse. Through the professor's adventures, we seek to share compelling stories that can challenge us technically and challenge the listeners in theme and concepts. So unlike other characters and stories that we enjoy sharing that are lighthearted comedies and pay homage to the golden age of radio, our professor stories may have lighthearted moments, but we can explore darker themes if the needs of the story requires it. Each story is a chapter in a fictional Professor A book that has been left on the Nutmeg Junction trolley. Chapters 1 through 3 can be found in the archive of prior episodes of the series. This is chapter 4 and begins a new story arc which will take place over several episodes. So please enjoy Professor A, Chapter 4, The Welcome Wagon.
Was the adjunct professor to the multiverse, which meant there was an educational body for whom she worked. Dr. Robert and I learned it was called the Multi-University, but the curriculum was far from the standard to which Dr. Robert and I were accustomed.
The best way to ensure your students receive the least beneficial education is to put a large group in a small room with only one teacher and a standardized book.
Are you making fun of me and my former class? I taught at one of the most prestigious universities on our planet.
That may be the case, Dr. Robert, but considering the universe that it was in, it is like a Helix Pomatia bragging that it had won a race with a sedimentary rock.
How do we know if we pass or fail your course?
Ah, yes. You have been conditioned to receive a grade after taking some form of written exam on a page or screen. Tell me this, Miss Gentry, have you ever known material but failed a written test due to how the questions were phrased? Have you ever passed a test without truly knowing the material at all and guessing, especially if the form of the test is a multiple choice?
You mean multiple guess?
My point exactly, Miss Gentry. It is only after stepping out of your world that you can truly realize how flawed it was.
How do you propose to teach us, Professor?
Through experience, of course. Our most thorough teacher is experience, wouldn't you say, Dr. Robert?
Thorough, perhaps, but experience can be challenging, even as much as it is enlightening.
It is in the challenge that one best can remember the lesson. Remember that, Dr. Robert. And to answer your question, I was not making fun of you. If I were, I would have called you Tweedy.
I have not agreed to that nickname.
Are we about to experience something, Professor?
We are always experiencing something, Miss Gentry, even when we believe we are experiencing nothing.
I don't follow you, Professor.
Upon what basic theory is the multiverse predicated?
The theory?
I'm not sure which theory we would start with, Professor. Perhaps with Sir Isaac Newton?
Excellent, Robert. A fine starting point.
What is the theory?
Sir Isaac Newton wrote in his book Optics the following, quote, "Since space is divisible infinitum, and matter is not necessarily in all places, it may be also allowed that God is able to create particles of matter of several sizes and figures, and in several proportions to space and perhaps different densities and forces, and thereby to vary the laws of nature and make worlds of several sorts in several parts of the universe. At least I see nothing of contradiction in all this," end quote. And now what do you think of that?
Worlds of several sorts?
I mean, I stood in front of you and recited a quote, and you'll probably forget it by lunchtime. That's your world's concept of education.
I wasn't prepared to memorize it.
Beyond that, there are many theories of parallel worlds, either based on alternate histories, to simple worlds with different physical properties in infinite space, to the theory of internal inflation, where a continual expansion produces the multiverse.
Clearly, we know there are multiple universes because we have traveled to them. So which theory is correct?
Yes.
What do you mean, yes, Professor?
Thus far, you have traveled to alternate realities and parallel worlds. Today, we will learn another theory.
Now this is exciting.
We can use the experiential method of learning I prefer, or, if you'd rather, I could just stand here and tell you the theory and then give you a multiple choice test at the end.
I'd much prefer the experience.
Agreed.
Then, without further ado, we proceed to a non-alternate history reality world based in the inflationary model wherein a pocket miniverse was created.
Miniverse?
Think of the quantum fluctuations that occur during inflation. The inflation field changes during the expansion because the energy and matter is different at different points in space. The miniverse inflates and reproduces a new universe. And we are going to a new one now. Come into the spatial vortex, and we'll take the dimensional corridor to it.
I love the dimensional corridor.
One can't help but consider the world is full of innumerable possibilities when you're in here, Professor.
Now, the corridor, by definition, is the very embodiment of that principle, Miss Gentry.
What's wrong?
The last thing I like hearing when we travel the multiverse is to hear the Professor say, like that.
Or to put it in terms you can follow, the link to this world from the corridor has been altered. It's obvious if you know what to look for.
I can't tell the difference.
You wouldn't, Robert. Not yet, anyway. Think of the corridor as wide as the sea of time and space, and with the right captain, you can go ashore to any point, any location, and any time in that multiverse. But here is very interesting indeed. Someone has taken our sea and built a canal, funneling us to one point.
What do you see, Professor?
There's a corridor. And look, there's oxygen, gravity commensurate with your mass and body weight. The size indicates those who built it were in human form, or at least similar in size and form.
Should we step out, or turn around?
Well, there's a sign out there. It tells us to do exactly that.
What do we do?
We step out, of course.
The sign is written in English. In the English language, that is.
Aha! You're reading it in English. I read it in a different language. The sign is created with microscopic pixels, a form of artificial intelligence, a translator function, and an inverse retinal scanner. Whoever steps out will read the sign in their own native language.
At the top it says, Welcome Center 5. Below it says, Home is where you came from. It's waiting for you there.
Are we misreading it? Or is the translator correct?
Well, let's find out, shall we?
The walls now have lighted arrows pointing us to go the other way.
Yes, that's what they're doing.
Should we go the other way?
Now turn around. What do you see the other way?
The spatial vortex and dimensional corridor.
Exactly. And as we've already been there, so we are walking this way instead.
Thank you for visiting us here in this universe, now owned and operated by the Uni-Ones. So very nice of you to drop in. Well done. Now it's time for you to pop on back into your corridor and head to the nearest universe that wants you. Thanks again for visiting. Bye-bye now.
We want to talk to someone.
Perhaps you can't read the sign. We try to be oh so very clear. The sign said, in effect, that this universe is ours now, so you can go back to where you came from. Now, if you want to visit, you'll have to go through proper channels.
What are the proper channels you're referring to?
Well, if you don't know the proper channels, you're certainly not ready to come to our universe, are you? Thanks all the same. Toodles!
I am Professor A, adjunct professor to the multiverse. I demand to talk to someone in charge.
You should find the representative from your home universe to have those discussions.
I am a duly recognized representative from my homeworld.
You'd have to be recognized by the UniOne's Expansion Council to be considered an official representative who could talk to us. Sorry. Thanks for coming.
We're walking, people. We're going to find answers. The sound of the voice seems to be coming from over here.
Sorry we can't be of more service. We hope you've enjoyed your stay and come back any time you have the proper permission, as we are a universe built by visitors ourselves. Oh, so you came anyway.
Before us was a small creature, only 1 meter high, with a long snout and puffy cheeks that made it appear it was always smiling. It was speaking English, but clearly that was just the audio version of the same system that allowed us all to read the sign in our own language.
How do you do? I am Professor A. We've been speaking, but not necessarily communicating effectively together. What is your name?
I am a UniOne Welcome Officer. I'm Officer Funston, but friends like to call me Officer Fun.
What would you like us to call you?
Call me from the road on your way home. Ha ha!
Barring that possibility, how about, can we call you Officer Fun?
Barring that possibility, what a wonderful turn of phrase, hey? Anyway, no one's called me Officer Fun in months. Not since I got this post, of course.
So you've had this post for months? Is that when this dead-end corridor was built?
The Welcome Center? Oh, no. The corridor was built a year ago, but too many beings were still making their way here, so I got a job out of it now. So there's that. All's well that ends well, hey?
Are you allowed to show us around this Welcome Center?
It would be my pleasure. Walk this way. Along the walls, you can see our glorious history.
Your world created the translation device, is that correct? I wonder if it's been programmed to give us the most non-threatening and friendly version of what you're saying.
Could be. But what better way to communicate than on the friendliest of terms, wouldn't you say?
Perhaps. Now, if I'm reading this correctly, your walls say that you came here from a different universe than this one.
Yes. Paul Allen Welkin discovered it in the year 2153. Then we just popped on over, skiddly-doo, just like that. And now we all live happily ever after. Well done, us.
Just so we get our bearings, what year is it for you now?
2155, of course. As you can see here, Welkin discovered this universe filled with possibilities and exploitable resources. And then, here we are when we popped on over and claimed our rightful ownership under the Articles of Discovery. What a wonderful story!
So this universe was uninhabited then?
No, well, of course it was inhabited, but they didn't claim it according to the Articles of Discovery or log it in the Universal Catalogue.
Is that a catalogue that your universe alone possesses? Because I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, sure we possess it. How else are we supposed to know what's in it? Now, as long as you're here, I have something to show you. Just step lively now through here.
Through here? There doesn't seem to be any door, just a wall.
It's sort of see-through. You can see the walls flicker from time to time. Are these walls made of pure energy?
Oh, don't mind that. You can change the transparency, of course. It's wonderful. Just step through here. Now mind your step, skiddly-doo.
Now, one further thing. Just one moment, miss. That's Professor.
Just one moment, then, Professor. Just have to press this sequence here and skiddly-doo. There we are now. Now you can get comfy until you're successfully processed and then sent back to your original universe or the nearest parallel dimension. Enjoy your stay!
Wait a minute!
The walls on all sides seem to be made of pure energy. And the door is gone. Did we just get locked in a jail, Professor?
We're in a room without access to a door. Draw your own conclusions, Miss Gentry.
We're trapped, Professor!
Take the time to understand the environment, Miss Gentry. Stating the obvious won't help us now. We came here for knowledge, and we are gaining voluminous knowledge now. According to the information on the walls of this welcome center, those in charge came from a distant universe where their resources were depleting, so they decided to colonize other universes, claiming them as their own.
Barbarians.
Oh, think it through, Dr. Brobert. Your own history is replete with stories of colonization and conquest. At this point, what we're viewing is just a difference in scale.
Speaking of scale, the corridors seem to be built for the humanoid size, but the uni ones are slightly smaller. How do you account for that, Professor?
Officer Fun said there were inhabitants of this universe before it was taken over by the uni ones. Could the inhabitants be human?
We don't know enough to answer that question. But it stands to reason that we should not return to our own world until we discover the answer.
Uni-ones. Kind of a redundant-sounding name, isn't it?
Did anyone else notice the utter lack of acknowledgement of the original inhabitants in their historical record? I wonder where they are now.
That is a scary question.
Very good. That demonstrates that you both are beginning to understand the stakes at play here.
Is there a way out of this cell?
It seems we're locked in. Isn't that right, Officer Fun?
Righto!
Listening to every word we say, Robert, a word.
Professor?
I need you to engage Officer Fun in conversation. Don't stop the conversation. I need to discuss something with Miss Gentry, the conclusion of which you won't like, but it is necessary.
Okay. For the record, Professor, I would have enjoyed this lesson far more if it were just on a page with a multiple-guess exam after it. Ahem. Say there, Officer Fun, I was wondering, such a marvelous welcome center. Does it have a gift shop at all?
Oh, I'm so glad you like it. You know it's the little things we enjoy. A lot of effort here and there goes a long way, don't you think? I mean, a lot went into picking out the flooring.
It's tile, isn't it?
It's quartzite. Do you know how much mining had to be done?
Did your people do the mining?
Well, there are lots of ways to mine, but yes, there's a gift shop which you can go through just before you leave.
You didn't actually answer my question.
Yes, I did. I said there was a gift shop.
No, I mean, did your people do the mining?
While a peculiar jailer was engaged in conversation with Dr. Robert, the professor used a small device that was attached to her index finger to scan our surroundings. When she had made a complete scan of the room, she focused her attention to a section of the transparent wall just underneath a control pad where Officer Fun had typed in a sequence. The professor used the device as a knife to create a small temporary hole in the energy door, through which she reached out to the pad and typed the exact sequence she had seen the Uni-1 use moments before. But the doorway did not open. When she pulled her hand back, the hole closed, and the wall was as it had been before. Meanwhile, Dr. Robert continued to distract the Uni-1.
You know what's fun?
Besides you, Officer Fun.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. Oh, you're a flatterer, aren't you?
Flattery? Not at all. I mean, when you think of all the quartzite here, it really makes you think, doesn't it?
You know, it does. It really does. Sometimes I sit here and think for hours and hours, and then sometimes when I have to put an end to one of our visitors, it's just a comfort knowing I can return to my thinking in the comfort of a quartzite flooring.
Did you say put an end to one of our visitors?
Did I? I meant visits, of course. Put an end to a visit.
Do you put an end to visits by lethal means?
See, I think the real question is...
No, I think the real question is whether you use lethal means.
Everything's perfectly legal. You have to trust the system will handle things the right and legal way.
The professor focused her attention on the transparent wall. With the energy knife, she sliced a small hole and held her position, a motion for me to squeeze through. Silently, I complied. Then she turned to Robert.
Robert, keep Officer Fun talking. Miss Gentry and I have a mission, and I need you to stay here.
And if the system handles things in a right and legal way, but that right and legal way is also a lethal way?
Look, it's our universe. We found it fair and square. So it's ours by right of possession, and it's been catalogued, so there's nothing that can be done. Irreversible, you see.
You've possessed it for what, 2 years?
2 years and 3 months. So that's a lot of quartzite, mind.
With the last silent blast from the energy knife, she created a hole large enough for the professor to slip through, before the hole closed once more with Dr. Robert still inside. He was chagrined, but kept a stiff upper lip as he continued talking with the jailer.
The quartzite was mined here.
But I think the real question is whether you like your temporary living quarters. Very nice, eh? Roomy?
It's an empty room.
That's what I said. Roomy.
From outside the cell, the professor opened the spatial vortex and found that a new dimensional corridor could take us beyond the artificial limits the Uniwons had created for us at the original port of entry. We stepped through, leaving Dr. Robert. He waved to us as if it may be the last time we would see each other, but we could say nothing.
Anyway, Officer Fun, I notice there's no place to sit down. And where are the pillows?
Don't you see the pillows there in the corner?
I see a pile of quartzite. Are the pillows made of quartzite, Officer Fun?
Well, quartzite is remarkable to look at, eh? So you have a remarkable-looking pillow.
We're out of that cell. But what now, Professor?
Now what indeed? We're in the home planet in the system in this universe. Curious, it's not Earth. It's completely unique.
But what about Dr. Robert? Is he safe or left him?
He's been left in a cell controlled by creatures that can manipulate dimensional corridors and take over parallel universes. I would say, most definitely, he is far from safe. We are all far from safe.
Why don't we go back and get him?
We should be able to go back to any time and place, but since I don't know what other changes the Uniwons can create to the dimensional corridor, I won't know for sure. We had one shot to step out and assess our situation, and I did not have enough power to guarantee we could all get out.
What is your assessment of our situation so far?
It's grim, Miss Gentry. Our priority at this point is to identify if there are any of the original inhabitants left on this world, and what their status is. If we can locate a personal-sized translator, so much the better. It would seem the automatic translation works within the confines of the Uniwon structures, but if we are to have any private conversations, it would be best to have them outside their confines, wouldn't you say?
Why do we need a translation device? I can talk privately with you just fine, Professor.
If it's possible, we need to communicate with the original inhabitants of this world. It is theirs, after all, and we must determine whether it can be returned to them.
Are you planning on starting a revolution, Professor?
A poet once said, "You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, We all want to change the world. Now, Miss Gentry, now it's our chance.
Professor A will return next week at the same time on this station. Stay tuned. This has been episode 16 of Nutmeg Junction, which was created, written, and produced by J. Timothy Quirk, copyright 2018. Professor A, Chapter 4, was rehearsed and recorded at WAPJ Torrington Community Radio and was directed by Conrad Senkowitz. The episode starred Lana Peck as Professor A and Officer Fun, Kurt Boucher as Dr. Robert, and Tiffy McKay as Miss Gentry. The Professor theme was written and performed by Lana Peck, copyright 2018, and used with permission. The Nutmeg Junction theme and Mr. JT closing song was written and performed by Robert C. Fullerton, copyright 2018, and used with permission. Additional music and Foley was located via YouTube royalty-free music and or found in the field by J. Timothy Quirk. Any comments? Suggestions about this program can be shared on the many platforms of Nutmeg Junction. Nutmeg Junction can be found online at nutmegjunction.com and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We hope that you enjoyed the program, and may all your journeys bring you back to a happy home.